Alrighty, let's do this. Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander, Ed producing and engineering our show. And together we welcome you to the program. It's the 18th of August, Tuesday afternoon, coming to you live from AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice. But you do not need to be in front of a radio or anywhere near a radio. If you're around a computer, you can live stream this program, and people do all over the world at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And of course, all of our podcasts and our complete archive, almost all of the shows we've done in the 4.5 years since we launched this project, are on my website, buckmastershow.com. We're going to begin with a conversation. Dr. Matt Hines is with me in studio, Democrat running for Congress in CD2. About 20 past the hour, certified financial planner Shelley Fishman does our Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Shelley's kind of giving us a thumbs down so far on the market, down about 50 points. But what else do you expect on a Tuesday? No, just kidding. Followed at 12:30, the Cox Business Monthly Nonprofit Profile spotlights United Way of Tucson and Southern Arizona. Then we close out the show with Kevin Dahl of the National Parks Conservation Association. Who would have thought that Saguaro National Park is one of the most polluted parks in the United States? Let's welcome now Mr. Matt Hines. Dr. Hines, how are you?
Great to be here, Bill. I'm doing well.
So you have made the official announcement. It will be you and so far Victoria Steele, the two Democratic candidates who would like to go on to challenge Martha McSally, who will be seeking a second two-year term. What went into the decision for you, Dr. Hines? What made this seem very doable?
You know, Bill, after coming back from some work for the administration, going back and forth between D.C. and Tucson, I've been able to see a lot of things. I work now full-time at Tucson Medical Center, and what I saw is really disturbing to me, and that is that Martha McSally doesn't seem to be voting consistently with the district. And this is a district where the voters, the constituents, the people have really prioritized having representation that focuses on solving problems, and that's not what I'm seeing. And so one of the things that really went into my decision was I took a step back and I looked to see how is our representative doing. And what I saw was disturbing. It was extreme voting, voting on social issues, very, very extremist viewpoints that really this is a very centrist district. It's a purple district, as it's called. And the voters prioritize bipartisan consensus building and really focusing on solutions. And that's just not what I'm seeing from our representative. And so that made it really easy for me to make this decision.
Bring our listeners up to date, Dr. Hines. After you served in the Arizona legislature, you did go back to Washington.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So 4 years in the legislature. And after 2012, I went ahead and accepted an appointment from the White House to work with the Secretary of Health and Human Services and as a Director of Provider Outreach. And my role there was, my main role was really to work with the healthcare professionals, the hospitals, and health centers throughout the country to help them kind of demystify and figure out how the Affordable Care Act works and can work to, for them and their patients especially.
Do you think it is a misconception that this district, CD2, is a very conservative district?
Absolutely, it is a unique district. In fact, even back in the 80s, when Jim Colby was running in 1984, it was at that time one of the most competitive districts in the country, and it continues to this day to be a district that really demands close attention and that you listen to the people and that you share the values of Southern Arizona. And when you don't, you get tossed out. And I think that's what we're looking at right here.
790-2040, if you would like to ask Dr. Matt Hines a question or if you have a comment, he would be happy to entertain those comments. What's at the top of your agenda on the kind of to-do list with your issues?
Yeah, it's there's of course so many right now, but one of the things that that I have seen working some in DC and also here locally now, people are really frustrated with their representatives in Congress not working together, not being reasonable, just being able to have a conversation. And that's something that I did in the legislature for 4 years, even though I'm a Democrat in a very heavily Republican legislature. For those 4 years, I was able to work with the governor, then Governor Brewer, and with the Republican majority to get some common sense things done, whether it's on health care or other issues. And that's something that, so first and foremost, being willing to work with others and to have that open conversation and to put solutions for the district and people first. And that's looking at jobs and wealth disparity, opportunities for our children, educational opportunities, making education affordable again. All these issues are really high up on the list. And of course, health care is something that I'm particularly passionate about, given my work as a physician. And I see patients every day who have all sorts of issues. And all of those things kind of wrapped up.
A lot of folks want to talk to you, Dr. Hines. We've got at least three callers who are on hold, and let's get right into it. Jim Kelly, a good friend of this program, has a question or comment for Dr. Hines, who is going to slip his headset on right now and be able to hear you. Hi, Jim.
Hi, good afternoon, Bill. Hi, Dr. Hines. Good to talk to you again. One of the things that you said was is that CD2 is a purple district. So, you know, there's at some point you're going to have to look at some conservative issues. What conservative issues would you ever find yourself voting for that you think would best serve District 2?
Thanks for the question. That's true. And I don't know that I look at issues as just strictly conservative or liberal. I look at the issues that are, you know, coming up and of importance to the district. And so, you know, I'm willing to address any and all issues and work together to make sure that we get some reasonable solutions to them. I'm never going to rule out talking about anything at all. And that's how I'm going to approach it.
Let's go to Sean. Sean is next on the live line at 790-2040. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Bill. I'd like to know from the good doctor if he would give us some examples of what Martha McSally voted that seemed to be against her constituents. As far as I'm concerned, and a lot of other people in CD2, very happy with what Martha has done representing us in Washington, especially on behalf of all the veterans.
Okay. Thank you, Sean.
Sean, that's a great question. I think that you'd be particularly interested in one of her votes in committee where she opposed an amendment that was specifically put forward to protect military families from predatory lending practices. She opposed that. So siding with a special interest in the banking industry to allow them to prey upon military families where these check-cashing facilities particularly attach themselves to the entrances of our bases across the nation and destabilize economically military families to the point where the Department of Defense is trying to get rid of them, and she opposed that. That was one of the most surprising votes for me. But then focusing on issues, social issues, and looking at her vote to raise prescription drug costs on Medicare seniors when she voted in February to throw out the entire Affordable Care Act, that didn't make any sense to me at all. Take away health insurance from millions of Americans who are getting it through a public-private system.
Sir,
none of that makes sense to me.
Is there anything that could have been attached to that bill that caused her to vote against it? Maybe it was a bill, sir, that had other things that were attached to it that even though in good conscience she tried to do something positive, she had to vote against it because of other attachments that were attached to that particular bill.
That's a good point, Sean. And in this case, this was a standalone amendment in committee to the National Defense Reauthorization Act. So no, this was not a situation where she had to vote against it because of something else that was included.
All right, back to the live line. Charles would like to speak with Dr. Matt Hines. Hello, Charles.
Hello, gentlemen. Dr. Hines, of course, when a person is sworn into office to be the hired help at either our capital or the federal legislature, they swear to uphold the Constitution. And I wonder, what is the stated purpose of government according to Arizona's Constitution?
Oh, Charles, that's a great question. I do not have that directly memorized or in front of me that I could reference for you. I do know that I, as a state legislator, did swear to uphold the state constitution as well as the federal constitution, and that's something that I will do if I'm sworn in as a representative for CD2.
Well, sir, if you swear to uphold it respectfully, shouldn't you know what it says?
Yeah, I think that it's pretty clear that that I did uphold the Constitution when I was in office, and I will continue to do that moving forward.
All right. To raise money, it's a big deal. You have to have a huge war chest to run for Congress competitively. How is that going now on your behalf?
Well, Bill, I'm really pleased to say, and really excited actually, that in the first week alone of my campaign, we were able to raise over $100,000 from supporters in the community, and my colleagues, of course, in healthcare were very helpful there too. But really, from people all across every walk of life, and actually 160 some folks contributed to make that possible. And really, looking at these congressional races, and you and I both know, the financial stability, or if the finances for the campaign, really give an indication as to how you're going to be able to do moving forward. So I was really pleased to have that kind of outpouring of support at such an early point.
And it's important, of course, endorsements. Some people say they're not all that big a deal, but you have to bring in endorsements as well.
That's true, and I do have a group of Southern Arizona legislators I'm really proud to have supporting me, who have either asked me to run and who are helping me, and that includes senators like David Bradley, Olivia Cajero Bedford, Lynn Pancrazzi from the Yuma area, and some representatives as well, Stephanie Mock, Macario Saldate, and some folks who are no longer in the legislature but have been in the legislature, like Elaine Richardson and former Senator Linda Lopez and others. So I'm really proud to have them backing me.
All right. Dr. Matt Hines, thank you for reintroducing yourself to the Tucson listeners here on my program. And you will be, I'm sure, attending lots of events
in
the coming days.
Absolutely.
Right?
Many events.
Okay. Dr. Hines, do you have a website yet up?
Absolutely. It's Hines4Arizona. That's HEINZFORArizona.com.
Okay, Matt Hines, thanks. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
All right, 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. Shelley Fishman, our certified financial planner, is next with always good financial advice for us here on the Buckmaster Show.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And one thing left out of the disclaimer, but I'll add it right now. Shelly Fishman is a nice guy. Hello, Shelly.
Hey, Bill. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Do I venture to say that the market is probably down?
It is. It's down a little bit, down about 35, 36 points. It actually turned positive earlier, and it seems to be...
But by airtime, of course, it had...
Well, it knows.
Yes.
But I should say that... You know, one of the things that we've looked at and that we always look at is the Dow. But if you take a look at the S&P 500 year-to-date, mm-hmm. and you take a look at the NASDAQ year-to-date, they're both slightly positive. So, you know, the broader market has certainly been flat or slightly positive for the year. The Dow is a little bit negative, a couple of hundred points to the south where we started the year, which is a very small percentage, of course, when we're talking about an index that, you know, is sitting at around 17,300 or 400. So it has been a kind of a bumpy year sidewise, you know, some good days and some really bad days, and they seem to alternate, except on Tuesdays.
Well, and we focus so much on equities. We don't. We in the media don't talk much about bonds.
Right.
But for a portfolio, when you think again of think of your portfolio as kind of the pie chart, bonds certainly have a place on
sure,
that pie
sure.
chart.
Sure, depending upon your age
yes,
and your
of
risk
course,
propensity,
depending on what percentage you're going to put in bonds.
Right. Well, when we take a look at bonds year to date, if you take a look at, for instance, the middle range, the midterm treasury, 10 to 20 year treasury, the fund that tracks those treasuries is actually up a little bit for the year, up about 2%. And so if you were really heavy into treasuries, you're up for the year so far. If you have the general bond market, the ETF that tracks the general bond markets, the ETFs that track the general bond market, are also up about half a point for the year. But of course, that's including dividend payments now. So you'd have had by this time 7 or 8 months worth of dividend payments, and that overcomes a kind of a pullback in the base price of the fund itself.
So what is the best way to own bonds? That if you're going to go that vehicle, is it owning particular bonds or being part of a bond fund?
Well, it depends. Assuming that you own a bond itself and assuming that the bond issuer does not default on the bond, and I must say, in most cases, that's very, very rare. So if you were to buy a bond, most bonds come in increments of $1,000, and the interest rate is stamped on the bond. So So long as you hold the bond to maturity, you are pretty much guaranteed of getting your $1,000 back. And on the way, every quarter, every 6 months, depending upon how interest is paid, you'll get your dividend payment paid into your account. However, if you buy a new bond, very often you're going to have to commit to a 20 or a 30-year period of time. And some people just don't want to do that. So they can buy a bond that is on the open market and may have been issued 10 years ago and is now trading, and they may have to pay a premium for that bond, or they may buy it at a discount, depending upon where the bond market is when they're ready to buy the bond. So if you buy the bond itself, you own that instrument, and you own it until you either sell it, and then there's no guarantee of what you'll get for it, or it matures, at which point you get the face value, which is usually $1,000. So in that sense, they're somewhat illiquid, non-liquid. If, on the other hand, you buy a bond fund, that's going to be a bucket of bonds that's based upon the strategy of that fund. So, for instance, you can buy a bond fund that tracks the overall cross-section of commercial bonds. You can buy a bond fund that tracks 10-year treasuries, 20-year treasuries. You can buy a bond fund that tracks short-term or medium-term municipal bonds. So there's lots and lots of ways of buying into funds. The nice thing about buying into bond funds is that you don't have to wait for anything to mature. You can sell that fund, your shares in that fund, anytime you want to. And the price you get for the fund will be whatever the price is that day. But the nice thing is it gives you a large amount of diversification within that bond family. So if you buy, let's say, a high-yield bond fund, then you're going to get typically several hundred or maybe a thousand or more bond funds in that bucket, so that it really does mitigate your risk of loss if any one of those companies were to default.
So it's kind of a nice breaking mechanism.
Exactly, and that's what most people do.
Yeah.
Most people who buy the bonds themselves are buying them in what's called ladders, where they'll buy some short-term, medium-term, and long-term, and let them mature in part every year, every other year, and then flip them.
Okay. Let's go to the live line at 790-2040. Tom has a question for Shelley.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Shelley, what can you tell us about Tucson municipal bonds? Are they safe or are they really dangerous to have?
Well, Tucson is not any history right now of a default. It is my policy and my company's policy not to comment on specific issues, so I can't really directly answer your question. But I will say that there are several different kinds of municipal bonds. Some of those bonds are backed by the full faith of the government that issues them. Some of them are actually backed by certain projects that, for instance, might be revenue bonds. They collect revenue and then pay their dividends and pay back according to the health of the facility that is backing those bonds. So if you're interested in investing in Tucson, investing in the bonds issued within Tucson, my advice would be to say that you're probably going to have less risk if you buy a bond that is backed by the full faith and credit of the whole municipality rather than a specific part of that municipality. That will mitigate your risk somewhat.
Okay, and when you buy an individual bond, do you then own that bond physically? Do you have that in your possession, or how does that work?
You can, but it's very rare. Typically, you buy the bond through your broker-dealer, and the broker-dealer holds it in street name for you.
Oh.
And when the dividends come in every quarter or 6 months, whenever it is, those dividends are put into your account. And then those dividends can be used by you, taken out as cash, or reinvested in other bonds later on.
Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner, with us every Tuesday afternoon. So, Shelley, what portion of a portfolio should be in a bond or bond fund?
It depends.
On your age, say, for 35 years old.
Well, that's going to be probably, if you have a moderate to moderately aggressive risk tolerance, that would be around 30%.
50 years old?
35-40%.
Seven-year-old,
yes. you're going to want to make it 50 or 60 or even 70% bonds. You want to have some equity. You want to have some exposure to risk simply because historically bonds don't earn as much as equities over the long pull. And so if you have some ability to hold on to your holdings for a long period of time, you want to have some exposure to equities.
Okay, Shelley Fishman, good advice. And the best way to reach you, Shelley?
BuckmasterShow.com, and then send me an email through the link there, and I get back even when I'm on vacation. I did have an email. On vacation, that's okay.
I threw you a curve. I spoke
to the lady, and it's fine. She's coming in to see me Friday.
All right. Well, I did throw you a curve. You were up in Oregon and trying to enjoy a little R&R, and I said, Shelley is always available on the phone. Should have said, well, send him an email. But you always are very good about answering.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot, Shelley. Have a great rest of the week, and happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks,
Shelley.
All right. Bye-bye.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Remodeling, restoring, or building new additions to your home?
Five Star has termite and pest solutions for you. Treatments to building materials can be performed while tradesmen continue to work. Worried about treatment marks? Don't be. Our treatments will be completed before texture and paint. Five Star will provide landscaping and drainage advice to eliminate moisture and other pest and termite attractions around the home.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control, protecting homes and homeowners since 1980. 886-0045.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday for a newsmaker interview with University of Arizona President Dr. Ann Weaver Hart. Also, we meet a young man who wants to be a state lawmaker. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice, with anywhere in the world live streaming, podcasts, and our show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. The following segment is presented by Cox Business. Cox Business, serving Southern Arizona through business and a world-class network providing voice data and internet solutions. Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com. Cox Business urges everyone in our community to support our vibrant nonprofit community. In our monthly nonprofit profile presented by Cox Business, spotlighting today the work of United Way of Tucson and Southern Arizona. Joining me in studio, Tony Penn is with us. Tony is the United Way president and CEO, and Bob Ewens is a design circuit edit engineer for Texas Instruments. Texas Instruments is a big supporter of the United Way activities. Bob has been the Texas Instruments United Way campaign manager for the past 2 years, and he'll be telling us about the upcoming Days of Caring in November. Our monthly nonprofit profile begins right now. And Tony, how are things going? First of all, welcome both Tony and Bob.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Tony, a new campaign will be kicking off in September. How did United Way do last year?
Last year, we actually knocked it out of the park because of the help of great donors here in our community and people of great compassion who cared enough to help us exceed our goal. In fact, our goal last year was about $8.8 million was our goal, and we actually raised about $9.2 million. So thanks so much to the community for helping us to do that and to touch lives.
And grants have been coming in as well.
Absolutely. We raised more than $10 million in grants that we shared with 90 different agencies throughout the community.
So now, looking at the new campaign that launches, I'm sure you're looking for even bigger and better things.
Oh, absolutely, because Bill, unfortunately, the need continues to rise in our community. In fact, Wallet Hub just reported just last week that this is one of the most challenged communities, especially for poor children.
Bob, tell me a little bit about why you got involved with United Way. You've been really kind of an instrumental part of what's going on at your company at Texas Instruments.
Well, the United Way is a good organization. They know what the needs are for the community, and they really get involved. They get the monies. They know which organizations, charities need the monies, and they pipeline the money to those organizations. Texas Instruments has a long history with United Way, over 60 years with partnering with the United Way, which is really amazing for corporations working with the United Way. It's a lot of fun. It's a good team building exercise, getting your employees out there working to help better the community.
The Days of Caring, I believe, will be November 4th and 7th. Is that correct?
Correct.
And what is planned for Days of Caring? How does that work?
Well, that's when you get your team together from work. You get to choose from a group of charities that need actual work done. Last year, we worked at Felicia's Farms. We chose them because of two things. They donate all the produce they grow and eggs to Casa Maria Soup Kitchen. We also enjoy getting out, getting our hands dirty, working in the community. And it's a farm. It was able to take 100-plus people, which a third of our population gets involved every year in this. And it's just a great way for team building, getting to work with people you don't get to see every day at work because we're in different buildings.
How do folks get involved with Days of Caring? What's the best way for a company to get involved, Tony Penn?
Well, the very best way is to go on our website, and that's UnitedWayTucson.org. And if you would just hit on the volunteer button, that'll take you directly to our volunteer site. And there we have displayed over 180 different volunteer engagement opportunities. And as Bob alluded to, great corporate team building opportunities and great engagement opportunities, especially with the fact that in today's workplace, we've got multiple demographics and millennials and Xers and those who are a little bit younger than Bob and I, and I'm just guessing, Bob.
Yes.
Well, you know, well, you've got so much need here in Tucson. How do you categorize, Tony Penn, who gets what?
It is done through a process. You know, the great thing is that I don't have to make that decision. There are more than 300 community volunteers and people from all walks of life, the social services, the corporate community, the education community, the healthcare community, who are on strategic work groups, and they get to decide. So it's actually the community who makes the decision about where to make the investment of those funds. And it's an allocations process that we're very proud of because, again, I don't have to make it. The community does.
Well, for every dollar that's invested, are you able to then turn those dollars and generate more into supportive services?
Absolutely. That's the good thing about the compounding effect of making a gift to the United Way is that that gives us an opportunity to leverage that gift. And in fact, we know that last year that turned into $5 and change of actual compound effect, and that's real community impact.
And Bob Ewings at Texas Instruments, you kind of oversee who is it very a simple process is what I'm trying to say here for your employees, and I guess it should be that way in pretty much every workplace.
Oh, it's a simple process. Texas Instruments makes it easy. They have a website for the United Way. There's a link that you press and it takes you right to the pledging, and then you can donate your money to the United Way. You can either do it in a one-time donation or a paycheck deduction. Every payday have X amount of dollars come out, which makes it very easy.
What are some of the achievements that you are most proud of, Tony Penn, from the last year?
Absolutely, we're proud of the fact that we can validate that we touch more than 100,000 lives in Tucson and Southern Arizona because of the generosity of this community. But secondly, we're very proud of the fact that we provided more than 88,000 books in our focused area of education, that we also are the largest tax preparer in the state of Arizona, as we did that for free through our volunteer income tax assistance program that brought more than $25 million back into the pockets of hardworking Tucsonans and Southern Arizonans.
How about workforce development? That's such a huge area for businesses.
It absolutely is. And we know that the more that we can focus on enhancing educational outcomes here in our community through our work in early childhood education, helping kids read on par, and our reading proficient at third grade helps the kids to be able to take the AZ merit and pass at the eighth grade. Those are the kids that graduate on time, and they get the best opportunities to be able to be successful in post-secondary education also.
And I think when people, I know when people donate money, they want people they can trust.
Absolutely.
And they want to make sure that there is accountability.
Well, and that's why we are quite proud of the fact that we are a four-star Charity Navigator organization, but not only that we have the highest rankings with just about every organization who measures those things, but it's the trust and transparency that we certainly work on every day, but we also are very effective and efficient in our way that we administer our process and in the way that we actually manage our business.
Tony, it's 5 years already since you came to Tucson from San Antonio. I think it was 5 years in May. What are some of your assessments of the Tucson community and as you look back over those 5 years?
Well, I have to tell you that my wife and myself have become very enamored with this community. And in fact, we hope to winter in Tucson forever. but the great thing is that it is such a warm and welcoming community, and not only that, it's a great compassionate community that really cares, and we found this to be the kind of place that we certainly want to be a part of for many, many years to come.
And Bob, what about Texas Instruments? How are you doing, and how big a footprint, Bob Ewings, do you have in Tucson?
There's about 327 employees here in Tucson. We're basically a design center and design integrated circuits and all the support teams that are required for actually designing and producing integrated circuits.
And so you work with us other local suppliers as well here in town or no? Or pretty much
a few. Okay. You know, we buy some supplies here in town, mm-hmm. but some of the major supplies come from what the corporation has for specific vendors.
Okay, so again, we've got a couple of dates to remember. November 4th and 7th, Days of Caring. Bob, have you decided? Last year you said you went to Felicia's Farms. What is your group that you're going to be focusing on this year?
Same one, Felicia's Farm.
Okay.
And they have a great project for us, water management.
There are a lot of companies that will be looking for partnering, right, Tony?
There absolutely is. Last year, we did over 200 work projects across the community, more than 3,400 volunteers actually participated. And we know that we'd like to hit a record again this year.
All right. Bob Ewens and Tony Penn, thank you both very much. And again, for more information about United Way, Tony, the website?
UnitedWayTucson.org.
Thank you both very much for coming into the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our monthly nonprofit profile has been presented by Cox Business. Get to know the business side of Cox at CoxBusinessAZ.com. And thank you very much to Cox. They really are huge supporters of nonprofits in this community. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amori on the web at veroamori.com.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine. Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us. How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Southern Arizona.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Really, some really fun events coming up. A Taste of Downtown in historic Silver City on the Saturday before Labor Day. And then really an event, a music festival that's become very big across the country. It's Pick-A-Mania. And this is really about a joyful celebration of bluegrass, Americana, Cajun, Gypsy, Swing, Folk, and a lot more. That's September, the weekend of September 11th and 13th in Silver City, which is just 3 hours east of Tucson. It's a great place to visit, great place, great part of the country, southwestern New Mexico. Many wonderful places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge. You can find the full listing and the many, many things to do by going to their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now on the live line Kevin Dahl. Mr. Dahl is the Arizona Program Manager for the National Parks and Conservation Association. That organization has just done and released the survey results looking at 48 national parks that come under the Federal Clean Air Act. And it was interesting. Kevin, first of all, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's good to talk with you again. I was a bit surprised that number 12 on that list was our own Saguaro National Park in our backyard. You usually don't think of Tucson being kind of a most polluted place.
You really don't. Unfortunately, some of the pollutants you don't see, and you and I might compare it to Phoenix, which is in the winter especially is much more polluted. But the monitoring shows that we have unhealthy air at Saguaro National Park, and we have qualities in the air that are preventing the spectacular views from happening on a regular basis.
Is it haze that's obscuring some of those long-distance views?
Yeah, and haze is an imprecise word, but yeah, it can be, you know, a rainy day and water particles. It can be a dust storm, and dust storms are happening more often. You know, the weathermen like to call them haboobs now because they're excited by using an Arabic name, but I remember growing up with fantastic dust storms in Arizona, and that's caused not only by the practices of dirt roads and abandoned agricultural fields and developments that have gone awry and aren't revegetated right away or built up right away, but also the increasing drought creates greater capacity for the ground to have dust and be blown all about. But there are other things that are unhealthy that cause the haze. There's two general classes that we're looking at. Sulfur compounds or sulfites and nitrogen compounds or nitrites. And those come from car exhaust. They come from fossil fuel, like the coal-fired power plants. They come from oil and gas development. And fortunately, we don't have any of that around Tucson. But that sort of development's affecting other parks.
I want to talk a little bit more, Kevin, about some of the parks that that had actually worse air quality than Saguaro. I mean, Great Smoky Mountains National Park was in there, and Sequoia and Kings Canyon in California. That's not too much of a surprise because of all the pollutants that blow over from the L.A. Basin and San Francisco.
And they're finding that pollution can come across the Pacific, and we get dust storms from the Gobi Desert, and those other pollutants I was talking about from new industries in China show up in there. So it's of great concern at those parks, and particularly to get an F in healthy air and a D in haze. Over on the East Coast, the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, you know, and they're kind of called the Great Smokies because they do just naturally have some haze, but there's also all sorts of industry in the East, closer to the park than you would think, and a freeway goes through it, so there are sources of pollution there. Not the dust like we have. It's pretty green in that part of the world.
Grand Canyon, how did Grand Canyon do?
I think Grand Canyon was in the 20s. I don't have that right in front of me. Grand Canyon does have, and it's very dramatic when you have a view obstruction event when you're on the rim of the canyon. And they get some air pollution blowing over from Las Vegas and L.A. There's also several coal-fired power plants, big ones, that are in the area that in the past especially have caused a lot of haze and continue to until the most recent set of air pollution controls will be applied. And some of them are closing down, as a matter of fact, because they're reaching the end of their life.
Did you come to any conclusions about what should be done about this,
yeah.
about this air pollution. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. You know, this is the Clean Air Act, which for decades we've had this goal of not only of cleaning up the air where people live in cities, but in our most precious, pristine areas, the national parks and some wilderness areas. Let's get back to pristine air. And they gave themselves plenty of time to 2064. It's reviewed on a decade-by-decade basis. And Saguaro and many other parks aren't going to meet that deadline at the rates that we're going. So we have some specific recommendations to strengthen what's called the regional haze rule of the Clean Air Act, and encourage both the federal administration and state agencies who are involved in this work as well under the Clean Air Act to take a stronger stand on cleaning things up. Let's get those non-polluting cars into our commerce and our transportation base. Let's encourage inexpensive mass transit. Let's clean up those ancient power plants and see if we can focus more on the renewable sources of energies that just don't produce those pollutants.
Okay, let's take a couple of calls. Dave, go ahead. Dave, you're with Kevin Dahl. Hey, Dave.
Yes, I had a comment about just a minute. Everybody in this town seems to want growth, okay? I listen to Chris and Joe in the morning. They're all, they say, Miranda's growth is just so wonderful. But when we sprawl out like this, you know, put housing developments up against the Turtle Mountains, guess what? People have to commute all that distance, and that puts more auto exhaust in the air and contributes to the pollution. And another thing is, as our population grows in Arizona overall, that's why we need these coal-fired power plants that are polluting the Grand Canyon and other places.
Okay, Dave. Kevin, human encroachment certainly is a huge issue.
I agree. And if we were making rational choices about development patterns, we could reduce our energy use, our impact on climate change, our air pollution quite a bit. And so, yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Dan. Dan has a question about pollution from volcanoes. Go ahead, Dan.
Yes, I've studied this a little bit. There's been many books written about the effects of volcanoes erupting all around the world, and there have been several that have not only polluted the area in the country where they are, but the wind currents carry them all around the globe, and the one in the Philippines and 30 years ago, and a couple in Indonesia 50 or 60 years ago, there was so much pollution out of them that it lowered the temperature around the globe mm-hmm. for several years.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Let's see what Kevin has to say about that. Certainly volcanoes can be a climate impact.
They certainly can, but at our current level of technology, we don't have a lot of control either preventing or mitigating that impact. So we need to concentrate on the human-caused forms of air pollution and activities that contribute to climate change, and the volcanoes will happen where they will, unfortunately.
Some of your thoughts on that front page story today in the Arizona Daily Star, the Grand Canyon has seen a 25% increase in visitors. So there's been a huge jump up at the Grand Canyon. I mean, that's great for tourism, but it really is impacting services in the area, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's a lag time with park funding to be able to provide, you know, even the toilet paper supplies. So my organization advocates strongly for adequate funding for the national parks. We can't keep them marginal or underfunded like we have for the last 5-6 years. So fortunately, planning at the South Rim has prepared somewhat for that level of visitation. There's great tramways. You can rent a bike. You can get away from people even when it's that many people visiting, should you choose to. And there are places to stay in campgrounds, et cetera. But the park funding, so that there's the friendly park ranger telling you, you know, don't let your kids get too close to the edge and stop throwing rocks over there. And plus the maintenance people who clean the toilets and make sure the electricity's on and such. That's what's taking a strain.
Where can people find out more about your association?
Well, they can see this report or our other activities at our website, and it's the initials of my organization. So it's NPCA, for National Parks Conservation Association, .org.
And you are based, Kevin, here in Tucson.
Here in Tucson, and if you want to track me down, I'm pretty visible.
Okay. Can I ask you real quickly about that story about the Grand Canyon? What's the reason for this increase this year, the 25% increase? Real quickly, please, Kevin.
Well, what the Park Service folks are thinking that, you know, gas prices are down, the economy has improved in some areas, and you know, almost half the people who visit the park are from out of the country. So mm-hmm. booming economies elsewhere really allow people to come visit the park.
All right, Kevin Dahl, thank you very much from the National Parks and Conservation Association. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, 12:59 on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to wrap it up for this Tuesday edition. We thank you for being with us. We have another one of our local talk shows coming up from 4 to 5. Mike Shaw hosts 4 Tucson at 4. We do 3 hours of local talk here on KVOI from 6 to 9. Wake Up Tucson, the first two-thirds of those 3 hours, and then the Daily Double with Christy Simone and a guest host every day from 8 to 9. I'm Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander. Ed will be back bright and early for the wake-up, guys. But until then, Ed and I wish you a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.